Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyoncé.
Marrying someone you only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Y'all, somebody's back in Los Angeles.
Hello, boys.
In his bedroom, which kind of creeps me out.
I'm back in my boudoir. Hey.
As I said before, I don't think any of this is functional. Are those just books sitting there?
The door's unlocked and I'll take some cock.
Are there just books sitting on top that are they being read or are they decoration?
No, they're being read. Well, they're intended to be read. I'm behind on reading, but some of them are. I mean, I've been gone for a year, so they've been sitting there. So,
that's
yeah.
That's what I've been in people's houses where I'm like, those books are not being read. Those books are decoration.
No, I try to only, like, I keep stuff to read. What book is by there? Our friend wrote a book. There's a Brené Brown book. There's like a little journal thing. I look at it when I'm here. And I'm here. I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back, y'all. You thought you could get rid of me, Los Angeles, but I came back like herpes, like a cockroach,
yeah,
like that nagging ant that you don't want to see anymore. Who always
Speaking of nagging, we're not together today.
Poodle is scared.
No, the real
he
reason
is scared to let me in his apartment, y'all.
The reason is I was cleansing my aura for one day. So, in preparation for your all-encompassing need on me.
It's fine.
But also, no, you came back from Podcast Movement. And so, yeah, I was wanting one
time.
Day. You got a COVID test and it was negative. But I was still saying, you guys, let's do today separate because you can still transfer the virus.
Yeah, we're
going to
wait a little
vaccinated.
Bit. No. I did get it. I just got a negative test. Y'all, I was in a conference. I was nervous. There was people that were vaccinated, some that weren't, some that were wearing their masks, some that weren't. But here's what I'm going to tell you. It's not foolproof, but if you get vaccinated and you wear a mask all the time like I did, it really decreases your chances of getting this. So if you're worried about getting it, those are the best way to take care of your health.
Right.
Amen. There you go. And that's our home health.
Home health minutes ever.
I'm basically, yo, welcome to Reality Gaze.
Oh, God.
This is Maddie and Poodle talking about, hey, but I'm pretty much back in Oklahoma or I'm back in LA for good. I'm just going to be taking the occasional
trip every other month.
Because, you mean, and I actually think a part of you means that.
I'm a really good actor. It's just I was always just waiting for your dad to come out, like with his underwear.
I'm worried about that too, in the middle of our show. just coming out, Matt. And I'm like, oh God, oh God. I worried about that too.
I was literally
like when Aunt Peggy interrupted our Patreon video
with her dog.
Y'all, if you're not on the Patreon, it was like about a month ago, Aunt Peggy made an appearance. And I have to say, it was on a YouTube Live and it was epic. We posted it,
She's
think.
She's like, hey, y'all.
It's
are
on
these
the
my fans?
Holding her dog who ate the lip.
Yes. So, but to piggyback on what you said, you guys get vaccinated, get yourself a vaccine. If you're indoors these days with that Delta variant, with people who are outside your circle, wear a mask.
It's not foolproof, but it really does help.
Yeah, the thing is, there's no foolproof way to get anything in this life. You just but using a couple of different.
Well, I can pretty much tell you how to get gonorrhea.
Me too.
Whoa, whoa! So y'all
give a seminar on that.
Syphilis 101.
Exactly. What not to do.
What not to do. Okay, so this is season 6, episode 15.
Finale.
The finale. Time does not heal all wounds, or as I like to call, the most joyless episode in the world.
I wrote, was episode 15, circling the drain, taken?
Yeah. Yes. I thought that at any moment Bjork was going to make an appearance blind.
From Dancer in the Dark.
Yes. Yes. Just like to cheer it up.
But Bjork is, there's not all Bjork music is sad.
No,
you're
not
just
Bjork, but Dancer in the Dark is, you know, I've heard.
Oh, it's devastating. Absolutely devastating.
Or like Meryl Streep's going to ride in on a train, just crying, looking for her dog. Like, just let
That would be a reprieve.
I mean, I finally watched the movie Seven on the plane here. I've never seen that movie.
How have you missed that movie?
That's really good if you've never seen it. I enjoyed it. But y'all, that movie
is over 20 years old.
That movie had more joy in it than this episode.
How did you go into that movie not knowing any of the spoilers and not knowing any of the endings? How did you?
I just didn't.
God,
just didn't.
Fucking Kimmy Schmidt bunker.
Ooh, y'all.
Next
hey.
Thing you'll say, you know, I've been thinking about watching Forrest Gump.
Never seen it.
Oh, come on.
I'm kidding. I saw Forrest.
Everyone, that was like required viewing.
My mother made me go see that with her.
That's definitely
Maggie,
a mom and gay son movie.
You see this movie, your daddy doesn't want to see it.
Y'all, everyone take a collective inhale and exhale. Oh, and let's talk about this finale episode. Before we do that, a couple of announcements. Huge news.
Actually, this is the way you're saying it sounds like it's not huge
news,
but it actually is. This is really big, exciting.
Sarcastic.
Yeah,
but no, I'm being serious.
It doesn't sound that way.
Huge news.
New 90 day spinoff alert, y'all.
90 day UK, y'all. They are casting. So if you are a UK person, you listen to the show, you're in a relationship from someone overseas or from a different country.
Someone across the pond. You got hankering for someone in another country.
Yeah. They actually probably talked to a couple podcasts, but they Instagrammed
us yes.
and said, announce it. So you cares, if you're in the process of K-1 visa or you're dating someone from overseas, could disappoint us.
Or, yes, or if you're a honky Scotch Irishman, gay man who wants to date a podcaster based in California, call Poodle.
Yeah.
Let's put Poodle on 90 Day UK. So, y'all, you can go to their Instagram. It's at Casting 90 Day UK. So, 90, Casting 90 Day UK.
I could be the foreigner.
You could be the foreigner.
Oh, my God.
You would be the new Antifa. That's what you could be.
I would walk in there and go, this isn't nice. Thought it would be bigger.
So I guess the UK works the same as US. I don't know. We'll see. Y'all, we will be covering the show. We don't know where this show is premiering. 90 Day UK, maybe let us know if you're listening. I don't know if it's on
I'm
Discovery
sure,
Plus.
I don't know. The
UK does get Discovery Plus, I believe. Let us know, UKers.
Yeah, but I think it may be on broadcast TV there. Like one of their
let
like
us know how
BBC.
It works. We're interested. Yeah, is it on BBC, ITV, Channel
Again,
3?
You can tell we're very informed before we're talking about something.
We need more information to discuss this topic.
Exactly. No, I need more information before I can form an opinion.
But let us know, UKers. We want to know. Come at us.
So that's exciting. And the next thing is, I guess there'll be a 90-day every country after this.
Oh, yes. It's going to be like Drag Race. Have you seen Drag Race Thailand?
No.
It's hilarious. Oh, those queens are so extra.
I would imagine. It's all subtitled, of course, right?
Well, yeah, I don't speak Thai. What did you
say? No, the fact that you would learn Thai.
Yes, y'all. I
really made me laugh. Yeah, I don't speak Thai.
I learned Thai just to watch Drag Race. Come on, say, say yes, God, in Thai.
Wow. We need to move on. Oh, God, that was way too funny. I found that way too funny. Y'all, F-Boy Island, check it out. It is a movement. It is a force of nature.
It's very good.
He's not going to like this.
Oh, I already know.
Even though he told me.
I saw your Instagram message.
He told me not to watch all the episodes before we recorded them, but I've already watched. There's 6 episodes available right now on HBO Max. So, and I've already watched them, so I know what happens.
So if you're listening to episodes 4 and 5, I'm sorry. They'll be lackluster on Poodle's end because he
I've taken notes, and I now know exactly what to say. So I'm only going to go by my notes. I'm not going to go off the cuff. That's when I go awry.
We'll see. We'll see. I hope it's
so
okay.
Y'all, if you've got HBO Max, you are missing out if
it's
you're not watching
good.
F-Boy Island.
It's very good.
I have lots of questions about how the show is proceeding. The first 3 episodes I felt like were kind of the show hitting their stride. Then I feel like they're trying to do something else in the next 3, and I don't know if I like it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyway, I'm not gonna say much more about it. Y'all, welcome to Plathville. Season 3 is back. It's going to come back August 24th.
Tuesday.
So you Plath heads.
You Plath heads.
I'm calling you now. If you're a Plath head, we do that show on our Patreon. Some people say, if you're like us, it's still one of my favorite shows.
I can't believe it's been a year. It feels like we did it 6 months ago.
Time is elastic. You know, also, you've been in Oklahoma, so your time.
I've been in Plathville. Been in there
where everyone's white and blonde,
yeah,
but it's dyed.
It's true.
But y'all, so that's on our $8 Patreon. If you're interested in Plathville, it's such a good show. The older kids, y'all, they're breaking free even more. Oh. Lydia is having even more exposure to the outside world.
I just hope Max and Micah have shirtless conversations.
That's happening, I'm sure.
Ooh.
And also, you guys, after these, there are supposedly 2 tell-alls, not 3. Yeah. If they make another 3, I'll just,
There's 2. The Other Way is coming back.
Toe! Y'all, this is Toe! I can't wait to say This Is Toe again.
This Is Toe.
Toe is coming back the Other Way. We've got returning couples, Armando and Kenny, Corey and Evelyn, Evelyn the Pimp,
mm-hmm.
and Arian Binyam, and of course, Chicken Jenny and Samit, who are never ever going to get married.
Man, I just want you to marry me.
God, her daughter and her wife need to kidnap Jenny.
I know.
Put her in
a
bag. You know, if
some new people are coming,
chicken, so she'll get confused. and they're 2 new couples who I kind of have hope for because they look nuts.
Oh, yes. One looks super nuts. Actually, no, they both do.
They both look nuts.
They both look
nuts. It's they both look horribly mismatched.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think that is it for the announcements.
I've aged.
That wasn't as long.
No, it wasn't that long.
We got by it because there wasn't a home health minute to deter us from 11
minutes.
We've
already done that. So let's jump in to...
Let's get ready to rumble! This is the... I don't know if there's a dance song. You haven't been to a club in at least 25 years.
At least. At least. Oh, at least. Do they still do the hustle? That's what I'd like to do.
No.
Y'all, we're going to talk about Andre in Lieb. Y'all, they're at the family cookout that Chuck thinks he says it's just going to go well. He just knows
that his mandated is adults only, which I understand what that means.
Yep.
But when someone says adults only cookout, my brain goes somewhere else.
Been there.
It means that someone will be fucking by the end of the night. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Poodle literally was called the hot dog.
I wore that name tag. Yeah. Oh, you're the hot dog this evening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He preferred mayonnaise. So, y'all, it's because it is an adult-only cookout. But again,
the kids aren't there. Yeah. Because they actually took a little bit of pity on their children. Because they're not horrible, horrible parents in some ways, and decided the children should not be around to witness the carnage that they knew was coming.
That they knew that Libby, more than anyone, knew was coming. So, yeah. So y'all, they're there, and it's Chuck and Andre and Libby show up first, and Chuck is, you know, they're sitting there talking, and Chuck says to Andre,
"A shitload of houses."
And Chuck said, you know, I told Libby that, you know, you aren't the problem and that I've been impressed with how you work.
That's what I've been saying to you.
But the way Andre then says, he's like, yes. And then later on, we flip houses together and we do all the houses.
All the houses.
I'm talking like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You are.
We do all the houses and then we flip them. Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Now you went somewhere else.
But I wrote... I got to say, Becky and Jen were right. Andre did want to take their business from them.
Yeah,
all
he
along.
Did.
I
yeah,
know,
he
but,
did.
But I'm just saying there is something to that that I did have. The problem is, y'all, and we've said this before, Andre's a piece of shit, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's a gross person.
He's
so
a hot piece of shit, though.
He's hot.
Boy.
Libby.
God damn.
Libby is the best of all of them. And she
I don't even want to talk about who's the best of all of them.
But he does. He doesn't care that they're her sisters. He doesn't want to share the wealth. He does want to take all the wealth.
Yeah. He cares about Libby and his daughter and how much he can get from Chuck. That's it. So this next thing they're talking about, Becky and her husband Boiled Potatoes shows up.
Thomas.
I always forget his name because he just looks like Boiled Potatoes for me. I'm sure he's lovely.
All this family's just drinking wine. I think the women might have a wine problem. They're all just like, I needed to take the edge off.
They just bring their wine.
And Becky looks at Libby and she's like, how's LA?
She's good. How's Max?
That's good, you know.
She misses LA.
You know, they're not really playing together anymore.
And then Jen comes in. It's all the same beats. Haven't seen you in a while. Hate each other.
And Becky says, and again, I don't know why. I don't know what's wrong with me. But for a part of me empathize with the sisters this episode, which is so weird. But when they said that their dad likes to stir the pot and then he kind of backs away,
yeah,
I went, you're right.
They weren't sharpening their fangs as much as they normally are. Yeah.
They actually kind of were reacting to the shit show that was their cokehead brother.
Oh, my God. Talk about like a roided up cokehead elephant.
Y'all. And you
it
know what?
It was bad.
Megan, too. This is not fact, but I'm just telling you, I feel it. Y'all, she is snorting cocaine off his dick while the kid takes a nap.
And then doing Adderall during the day. And then,
so they can get through their OnlyFans videos and chatterbait at night.
They're trash. Let's be honest.
Not that because they're doing adult only work. That doesn't make you trash. I'm just saying.
No, they're just trash.
Yeah, they're just trash.
So there they are. Becky is saying, when's the last time you saw me, Dad? When you kind of went dark. And then, of course, Charlie comes in and says, oh, call the cops.
Call the cops.
Don't give away what you're going to do. I must say, this was a miscalculation that a producer didn't, or some PA said, don't say you're going to fight right when you do it. Because that's not how to, he's a bad, bad plan. The reason why I'm saying this, you guys, is this whole thing was scripted. They were told to fight. I don't know if they told
you really
Chuck.
Do you really think? I don't think they were told to fight. I think nothing had been resolved, and he hasn't seen Charlie in a long time. I think they just knew that they would fight. It's like if I did a reality show and I was a producer and they said, okay, what are we going to do with this next scene with Poodle? I said, okay, we're going to team him up in a bar with an average looking gay guy and his really hot straight friend who has a lot of tattoos and just see what happens. Doesn't take a producer for that.
And the average looking gay guy who's into me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ugh. We know how that's going
to
go.
It's not going to go down well. It's not going to be easy to watch.
But it's going to be good TV.
The normal looking gay guy is going to go like this, be watching me just like asking where the tattoos came from.
Yeah. Oh, God. Ooh. Oh, I've seen him do it, y'all.
Yeah, it's really
I've
bad.
I've seen him do it. And he'll like lightly touch the form. Where'd you get this one? Oh, it's so transparent.
Oh, it's really bad. I never said I wasn't.
I kind of respect it.
So there's this whole thing, and Andre's like, take a seat. They wrestle, they fight. He throws him to the ground. Charlie's saying things like, you got me on the ground once. Good for you.
But they fight for a while. We should say if you don't, because we should need to describe this because a lot of people still aren't watching. A lot of people have stopped watching the show. So we should, and they're just listening to us. Yeah. So we should explain. So what happens is they fight. It's right by the pool. So I kept thinking they were going to go to the pool and then get wet. That would have taken me a whole other place.
Andre. Mm-hmm.
So, but y'all, it is pretty quick. Andre head wraps him and just kind of body slams him to the ground immediately. And Charlie is just like a wet fucking fish.
Yeah. I'm amazed that Charlie's mouth is writing checks so fast that his ass can't catch.
Exactly.
Cash.
And Megan, y'all, Megan is just like screaming. She's like that
girl at the club who's right behind her hot boyfriend.
She is that girl that her boyfriend gets in a fight and then she's going to get in a
yelling
fight.
Yelling at everybody else. Yeah.
So
it's surprising. And she actually scratches Libby in the face fighting.
She scratches Libby in the face and Libby goes after her and she's like, she goes all in.
She's screaming, Megan is. Yeah.
And yeah. And so, y'all, Andre, his shirt just so happens to just kind of pop open.
I don't know. I think it was in the hustle. I think already the buttons might have been loosened by production.
Possibly. That might have been.
I'm not complaining that happened because his shirt, y'all, we said this, but we were talking to each other. He was like a brute. He was an absolute. Yes, he was full on Stanley Kowalski brute.
Yeah, this was also very much like it was scary seeing Andre's
it
face.
It was scary.
It was literally a bull seeing red.
Yeah,
you could tell there was this huge big guy that's on the crew that came in.
Oh my God!
And he was barely able to hold Andre back because I think, and I agree. I would have worried that Andre would have knocked him unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
The level of anger
that
Andre had, it was like all these years of this family bullying him and picking on him. It was just...
I will say...
It was so scary, it was almost not hot. Almost.
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 I kind of went somewhere else during it because... I just had, when back in my days my former life as a serving wench, mm-hmm. giving cups of mead, to men in the beer halls.
Yes.
And I thought about the days when my brutish boyfriend would go out and beat someone up, and he'd come home and just rut me in my sleep and wake me up. And all of a sudden I would go, oh, it's so good. And then he'd be asleep. And yeah.
If you're watching The Intimate Portrait, then you definitely saw my face.
Kind of went somewhere. Like Poodle a running went somewhere, animal.
And I am a little white now from the color.
Disengaged. Yo,
welcome to The Intimate Portrait if you're watching us do this podcast.
Yes.
Welcome to our patrons for that.
So basically, y'all, Chuck is starting to cry his eyes out. There's one person I do feel sad for. Even though his dad did Chuck did stir the pot to get this happen. I don't think he realized. Didn't know he was going to see his family at each other's throats like this.
Well, and I don't think he it would go this far.
No,
because Chuck is literally, Megan's yelling at him. She's like, "Look what you've done, Chuck! Look
She's
what
so
done.
Awful.
You haven't seen us ever. You're about as for this." And Chuck is like, and he says, "Y'all, I'm about to have a heart attack. This is stressing me out, y'all, because he's a big guy. He's not in great health."
Yeah.
And so Chuck, the only thing that finally gets Andre to calm down is Chuck says, "You fight with my son, we're done."
And there's like a little clarity. He's like, ugh.
It was like money. It's kind of the own
money fighting sex.
It's like, again, yes. It's like if someone dangles an uncut dick in front of me, I will stop what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's actually just animal. Yeah, it's just you're in your DNA.
It is. It's the way God made me.
She did. So, even Becky and Boiled Potatoes are in it. They're like, Charlie's the problem. And they're trying to blame Andre too.
And they're blaming Andre. Megan's screaming, "I can't believe you allowed this person to destroy our business." And that's what's the saddest about all of this. Y'all, this is nothing. This has nothing to do with the loss of family member.
Zero. It's everything about greed.
It's just they're all so upset about the money.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like the local cable channel version of Billions. Isn't it?
I've never watched that show, but people say it's good.
It's about, isn't it
I know,
about,
it's Paul Giamatti and,
But isn't it about, what family? It's based off of,
No, this is, you're talking about Succession, which is a much better show. You're confusing things again.
You know what? They're kind of the same show.
No, they're not.
It's about rich people.
Oh, God. No, Billions is a completely different show. And Succession is about a family.
I meant Succession. Billions is the one on HBO Max with Hot Guy, with Vin Diesel or one of those guys.
We need to move on because you're just spouting nonsense.
I meant
Succession.
That's about the Rothschilds.
No, it's about Rupert Murdoch.
The Murdochs.
How many things can you say incorrect in 1 minute?
I couldn't remember Murdoch.
Rothschild, that's a banking family from like the 19th century and the 20th century.
I think they're all dead.
No, I think probably there's some still Rothschilds who are still alive.
Well, you should find one.
Sorry about that brief detour, everyone. that just made me lose brain cells. So, yes, how do we get there? Oh, you mean it's a low-rent version of Succession?
Yes.
Kind of, but their family drama is actually pretty deep on that show. But it does come from certain people who have their father's approval. And also, those people are a little bit more... You know what? The comparison's not apt. I'm sorry. These people are just venal, and that's it. Andre's pacing like a tiger in a cage.
It really, yes.
This is scary. And they rip his shirt off.
He got me on the ground. He likes to wrestle like a bitch ass.
And that's all that's important to Charlie. That he's like, yo, I got back up though. I'm ready to go.
Give me another chance. No, Charlie. Like he'll drop you like a fucking hot potato.
He's like, no one comes into my face. And I'm like, well, check please. I will.
And they finally
you can come on my face if you want.
They start trying to fight again. Finally, the big crew guy, let's just call him Tiny. Tiny, the crew man. Tiny comes in and he pushes Andre out again. This
out
time,
the door.
Thomas, Becky's
boiled
husband.
Potatoes is just helping him too.
And this time he's a hot potato because he's angry too. And that's really where Ben and Thomas say to Chuck, they're like, Charlie's out of control. He's the one that started this.
Who's Ben?
What did I say? I said
Ben
Becky.
And Thomas?
Becky. Oh.
Becky,
okay,
and Becky and Thomas.
They say Charlie's out of control. He's the one that started. Becky even says Charlie is toxic. He needs intense therapy.
Right.
Y'all.
They've known this for a while.
I want to say we haven't gotten the whole story. We know that Charlie hasn't been doing as well in the business.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, y'all, we've said it before.
It's drugs.
I'm sure it's drugs. And they 100%. All know that. They don't want to say that because they don't want the stigma of that on the family. But I'm sure it's drugs. Charlie's. And so they're all basically saying that, you know, he's the one to blame. Not necessarily siding with Andre and Libby, but they're not. Becky's
yeah,
not
it's like
coming
a three-way
at
fight.
Andre and Libby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Charlie's just berating his father, and so is Megan. This was hard to watch. And he's like, you trying to cancel me. Trying to cancel me, Dad.
And he's like, son, I actually was glad to see you. I mean, this is, yeah, this is.
And Jen's like, Beth has gone to a whole different level. She has to get in her soundbite. And Andre basically is outside saying, Chuck has to make up his mind. It's going to be us or the rest of the family. I don't know if that's going to work out for him the way he thinks it is. That's a pretty arrogant way to think about things.
I don't know. Charlie's like, he got me on the ground. I'll be back.
And then Andre says,
drive off.
I'm not backing off.
Andre is full on shirt open this time, by the way, y'all. Just shirt open.
I'm having
just
a hard time being
his abs just kind of heaving.
Yeah. I was having a hard time. I was turned on, but also sad.
Yes.
And also it was a difficult process.
It was. It made me think about, am I a horrible person?
And I never went that far.
Okay.
all I got about them. Y'all, this was the last word, not the last word, but the take here is that,
well,
yes,
Becky and Thomas also too are like, we're
done with this family.
He's like, I'm done with this family. I'm done with this drama. Andre is saying that too. Chuck is full on crying, saying, I just want my family together. It's never been about the business. It's never. And I do think for Chuck, it's been about the business because he's been a horrible slumlord to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's all about building wealth for his family,
yeah,
kind of thinking. And I think he thought, honestly, I think
they wouldn't try to use him.
Yeah. And they did. They did. Yeah.
That's sometimes it's the tricky thing is you try to raise your children with giving them so much. And you think, oh, I'll do as much so they won't be either. They'll be in a better situation than I was in. That really sometimes doesn't help.
No.
Yeah.
It's like that 20-year-old twink who gets with that 40-year-old guy. At first, they both really think that they're in love. And they think it's not about the money. And then, y'all, 6 years later, that twink wants to start having an open relationship.
Uh-huh. 6 years, 6 months.
And then the next thing you know, the love is gone.
Not saying I've been either one.
Yeah. Or even the other woman. The other man.
It's been a role I'm accustomed to. 6 months. That the twink wants an open relationship after 6 months.
Yeah, usually. Yeah.
That's all I've got there, y'all. It's not gonna I have a feeling we will see these people again, unfortunately.
We've heard
is a spinoff for Flipping Houses. I don't know who would want to see Jen and Becky on a show. I don't know who that is.
Definitely not Charlie, but I would watch it, to be honest. I mean, this was really sad to watch, but at the same time, there's like the therapist kind of voyeur in me of watching, honestly, like raw. This was, I don't think that this was scripted. This was like truly like raw emotions coming out in these people. And it was riveting television, I have to say. Sad. Very, very sad, but kind of it was like the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones. You just couldn't stop watching.
Stop comparing this to things like that. That was...
Andre, fuck me. Andre, fuck me in the butthole, in the butthole, in the butthole, in the butthole. Stick your dick in my ear. Why my ear? Why my ear? It's still a hole.
Wow. if you say voyeur again, just say voyeur. You always
That's
make
what
it
voyeur.
All right, y'all. We're gonna move on to Kalani Nasuelu.
I can't. Can we take a break after that? That was a lot.
That's what I was gonna say. Before we do that, we're taking a little break. We'll see you in a bit.
Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get, and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Caw!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and... the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Song Finch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Song Finch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Song Finch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself. Never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
News of Kalani. Samoa? Yes, please. Here he comes, y'all. He had to go to the piano.
Back.
We're back, y'all.
It's the time. Tears of Kalani.
Kalani.
The final installment.
Oh, y'all. This episode, I said, is titled Samoa. Sounds good. So,
no, it's Samoa. I hardly know her.
It's too late. I get to name it.
No, mine was better. Oh, come on. Mine was a pun.
Your life is, our lives are puns.
That's the truth.
That's
Samoa,
the truth.
I hardly know her.
It could, you know, now I just want a Samoa cookie.
This is post Christmas blow up.
They're almost kind of the happiest thing in all
God,
of this.
I can't believe you're saying that, but you're right. It's not even that they're happy. I will say this. Their dynamic, they have an interesting dynamic, and it's not the same beat over and over again. Even though
no.
They have had similar beats with the problem is his family. The problem is his concept of how his life should be as a Samoan man. And are
yes.
they blah. They have those similar beats, but they're expressed in different ways. The Libby and Andre's beats are the exact same.
They also, I have to say, they, more than any other couple, they do compromise.
Yeah, I agree.
So, y'all, but shit's going to hit the fan first because Mom's talking to Asuelu, and he's saying, you know, yeah, that was pretty upsetting. It was, and, you know, and as Kalani comes in, and she's just like, yeah, it felt, it felt really weird. And the mom told Asuelu, she said, you know, honey, it was really sweet how it is sweet. And the mom brings up, if you think about where
you're Asuelu, talking about Lisa, her mom.
Yeah. If you were thinking where Asuelu was with their family like 6 months ago, it really is. They really made a turnaround. She said, which is true. She said, I think they were just waiting for an opportunity no matter what you did, Asuelu. Yeah. And that is so true. Tammy was going to fight no matter what.
I agree. But she did, Kalani does say, why did you give me that blanket? That was very upsetting. And I could see in Asuelu's mind that was, in a way, a cute / passive aggressive way. Yes. I understand why he would do it. It's still bad. He does say, I'm done with Tammy.
And he apologizes for that. He apologized for that.
He does say, I'm done with Tammy. And he's like, it's really going to be hard not to see my mom again, though. And Kalani says, I don't want anything to do with his family ever again. And I really don't want, I don't want him to either. So
she said, Lisa, I get it's your mom, but your mom doesn't support you at all.
Right.
So what is your mom doing for you now? But I get it, y'all. It's your mom. I mean, it's
hard if you've got a really toxic parent, especially if they're always saying, give me money, you know.
Yeah.
Especially if you got money bags. So I would think it's very draining. You have to establish very strong boundaries.
You know, but at least he's not down. And at least now Lisa can bring some positives.
Yeah.
Bringing the good news today, Lisa.
Oh, wait. Lisa says, it's been hard for your father being in California. And he's too far away from me and the kids and or everybody else. And we're going to sell the house. And they're just like, Now, remember, you guys, Kalani or Lisa helps a lot with the kids.
A lot. A lot.
And because we all know Asuelu is pretty useless.
But I actually think he has shown at least, and Kalani has said he has gotten better.
But think how much, I get that, but think how far there still is to go. I know we've come so far, but there's still so far to go. What was the grand total of times you saw that in the movie theater?
Like 11. Y'all,
he saw Hairspray.
No. Here's the deal.
That many times.
I enjoyed it. I wanted to see it maybe like a total of 3 times. I really enjoyed that movie.
Once is enough.
But my, I disagree with that, with seeing things. It's like you wouldn't hear a piece of music once and say that's it. You always experience something new with good art.
I guess. I don't think that's an equivalent, though.
I do.
No, the movie is a fixed quantity. The piece of music is a different time, different thing live. So, but I understand. I think you can watch a movie twice. That's fine.
I mean, like listen to a song on the radio. You listen to a song. Why listen to Bon Iver's?
Because a song isn't 2 hours.
Then that's okay. But you know, if you want to experience
I'm just
that
saying
again,
that is not an apt comparison.
It is. Of a song on the radio is the same as it is. I disagree. I think it is.
But a movie, I don't watch that many movies again. Maybe ones that I haven't seen in a long time.
Then I think that's just you. But I don't mean just because you don't prefer that doesn't mean it's not.
But to watch a movie in a theater 3 times?
I think 2 or 3 times is fine. Now, more than that was problematic, but y'all, my day job boss at the time is a very, very, he makes Poodle and I look like straight tops.
He's
a very wonderfully gay man, and he was obsessed with that movie. We would go in the middle of work, and he would say, girl, come on, we're going to go see Hairspray. And I had no choice because our office in Century City was by the movie theater. So I'd get paid to just go see Hairspray. So I saw it
weird.
Like 11 times.
You're like, I'm going to see Hairspray again with Dan Rand tonight.
Yeah, Poodle's like, can we record? I'm like, I can't. I got to go for my work. He's like, you're getting paid for this? I'm like, yes.
I don't know.
At one time we did a sing-along. It was like us, 3 other women, and then one kind of basically really just old queen who I think needed love, and we just had the best time.
That was it in the theater? And
yes, because it had been in the theater for 3 months at this point. We made it a sing-along. We got up. We danced with people.
I get it. I just...
It was a lot. I'm not arguing with you. It was a lot.
I don't know. I think I'll ever see a movie in the theater twice. I'll rewatch a movie, but no.
I saw Wonder Woman 13 times in the theater.
Come on.
Oh, I loved every time. Cried every time. Loved it.
Then it's just an economic issue.
It was fun.
Couldn't you just watch it at home when?
Not the same. Not the same.
All right, we need to move on. Y'all, if you go to watch a movie 13 times in the theater, you might have a little bit of OCD. Just a little bit.
It's not like I waited 40 years to see my favorite superhero who's like my Jesus Christ on screen.
Boy, you need to process that shit.
I'm wearing the shirt to prove it.
We need to move on because, boy, that's an ugly pathology. So they're basically saying we're selling the house. We need to be closer to California, not in California. And Osuelu says, I still feel really hurt from what happened. And Kalani's like, this is really bad timing. You can see she doesn't really give up a lot of, she doesn't really give away when she's freaked out.
She's got a good poker face. Yeah.
But you can tell she's freaked out.
I said this earlier, like when he brings up Samoa, I was like, her face is great. Doesn't say, take Kalani with you to Vegas. They'll never know. Never know.
So his friend, Swaylu
says, I'm really lost in my brain and my mind. It's just.
I'm lost in your brain.
Yeah. He's just like, I don't know it. So he and his friend go to a smash room. Again, Poodle, what did you think a smash room was? And you heard that?
Yeah, those things are usually much more popular at night, and there's usually some type of dramatic lighting and house
EDM,
music playing.
Yeah.
That's
kind of what Poodle goes to smash.
Yeah, lots of condom reciprocals.
We once met at Smashburger on the West Side, and he showed up naked, and I went, Poodle, it's just a restaurant.
I love Smashburger. The idea of it. So they are Osuelu and Tui are just smashing shit. At one point, they're just like whale on a printer. I'm sure that this is a thing that's very helpful to people. These are popular now. That people do.
I look at that bat and I'm like, that would just hurt my carpal tunnel.
I kind of like it. I think when you especially the metal bat, it would hurt. I think you probably have to have, because you know when you're when you hit like a bat
and it goes wing.
We're old. They're just kind of smashing stuff. And Tui says, Osuelu reminds me of a lot of the boys who came straight out of Samoa. They're very simple, they're naive. Boy, that just nails him.
Well, but this was a good thing that it was nice to have somebody who's Samoan talk about that is the culture they come from. Meaning like we've talked, this was informative to me because sometimes, and we've said this, sometimes we say, is Osuelu the smartest person out there? And do I think he's a brainiac? No. But it does show.
He's pretty typical.
Osuelu comes from a culture where the men they kind of do whatever they want. I think the women are kind of doing all the planning and the, almost thinking for them. It seems like we could be wrong, but just what we're getting.
They baby their men. The women do the cooking, the cleaning.
Come out of Samoan sissies, but I think that, I don't know if we have any listeners in Samoa.
I don't know.
I would like to go to Samoa. It takes forever to get there, doesn't it?
I imagine.
It's almost in Australia, right?
Oh, let's not get into geography. This is going to be really
there?
Bad.
It's somewhere.
Oh, God.
You
trying to figure out Micronesia makes me very, very uncomfortable.
It's American Samoa where...
Samoa is different than American Samoa.
Oh,
really? I'm already telling you things you don't know.
So they're not from America, Samoa. They're from American Samoa. Yeah. They're from Samoa.
Yes. They're different places.
I thought they were the same thing.
I knew. I could already tell you weren't going to know that.
Carl. Carl, I just learned a new country, Carl.
Didn't know. Wait, is yes. this where...
I'm not here to explain to you the world.
What's the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical? Is this where this takes place? Balearic?
No.
Where's that?
No, that is in...
South Pacific. Never mind. It's called fucking South Pacific.
We need to move on because you sound like a ninny right now about the world.
I won the geography bee in Oklahoma in
But it was
grade.
Only Oklahoma counties.
Well, yeah.
It wasn't anything in the world. Well, it was just Oklahoma counties.
The pig was at the fair that day being shown. Oinky.
No one had because that's the only way anyone else could have a chance if the pig was out.
Mm-hmm.
Zuckerman's famous pig. So they are. They're talking about, and Tui says, Asuelo says, I'm not sure if I have a relationship with my mom anymore, and he's basically crying. Said, what do I do when they're going to move out of the house? What do we do? Am I going to have to go look for money in the streets? Am I going to have to steal from people? I don't know what to do because I can't provide for my family. And
Asuelu gets in that thinking, and y'all, they're going to get a car and he can keep driving for Uber or Lyft like he's doing.
Tui says, well, you ever think about going with your family back to Samoa? You know, you don't have bills to pay. You just grow your own food, blah, blah, blah. Live off the fat of the land.
This is horrible, 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 horrible advice.
Kalani's going to flip her fucking lid. Well, it's not bad advice from someone who is Samoan, because I'm sure that's a thing that other people he's known have done that. They're not usually married to women like Kalani.
Yes.
So, which is very different. They may be married to Samoan women. So that would be the difference.
I do want to point
out, though, Samoan women, I should say.
Think about the way, and we'll talk about them later. They're not really that comparable. But as far as two women who consider themselves strong-minded, independent women, think about the way in this next segment, when Asuelu suggests things, think about the way Kalani answers him versus, and the granted, he's a different person, but there is a difference of the way Tiffany answers Ronald.
Totally. I think that they're decent analogs because there are a little bit of similarity of situations, but
Kalani could choose to act that way.
She could. And she could always, like Tiffany, always try to be the smartest person in the room. Always trying to show how much smarter she is than Ronald.
But she doesn't.
Yeah.
Tiffany doesn't. Yeah. Kalani doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
So sweet summer child Asuelu says, maybe moving to Samoa will solve all my problems. No, honey. It's not going to solve any of them. You're going to have just as many more. Just when you move someplace.
Yeah, exactly. And
then
y'all, they're in the park
playing volleyball.
And so,
and I wrote down, okay, this transition, this was right from Kalani or Libby and Andre.
Libby and Andre.
And I was like,
because they played like real fun music.
Yeah. Like 60s music.
It was like,
gonna go to the car wash and get something fun. We just saw some fighting and a family falling apart.
Ain't it fun?
That was what I was like.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
What's
also too, it's because we watch it on Discovery Plus.
There are no commercials.
There's no commercials. It's kind of buffer.
It's just this episode kind of was so much emotionally.
I had to keep pausing it
and walk away.
Yeah, I told you. I said you're going to have to take a break.
I did. I took two breaks actually because I couldn't. Yara and Joby strangely broke me a little bit. Because I know where that's probably going more often than not, because I know men like Joby.
I have to say, you called it.
Yeah.
I hate to say you were right, but you were
on
that
one. I don't have a lot of hope for them. Hopefully we're seeing the worst of their storyline. And maybe it's okay, but I don't know. We'll get to them later. So they're playing volleyball and they're having fun. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of saying, yeah, I think I should, I don't want to get rid of my mom out of my life forever, but I need to talk to her and kind of make sure everything is okay. And he's like, that's when she's like, I'll support you, but I don't know why you're doing it. Can't really see it helping. And he said, what if we moved back to Samoa?
Her face, she just stone cold. I mean, not cold, but just,
but
her countenance kind of didn't change. She just kind of went leaned over.
You kind of saw the entire hope that she's had with him just evaporate, and it kind of hurt my soul.
Not all the hope, but she even said to her in the moment, she said, we take two steps forward and then four steps back.
Two steps forward and two steps back. Dun, 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 dun. We come together because opposites attract, and we know it ain't easy. It's a natural fit. We come together because opposites attract.
Nothing in common, but there's trust. I'm like a body, she's like a plus. One going up, one going down, but we seem to land on common ground. If things go wrong in the right direction, we keep things moving in the right direction. I try to fight it, but I'm telling you, Jack, it's useless. Opposites attract.
I did not know you knew the whole rap.
The whole rap. Yes, I knew the whole dance to that. Paul Abdul was my favorite.
Wow. Is there any part of the stereotype you don't fit?
Look in the mirror, bitch.
There are parts of the gay stereotype I don't fit. What? There are.
What?
The decorating part.
I don't have the decorating part either.
You think you do, though. But
no, I don't think I do. I've never said I'm
a good... I would say you enjoy it.
No. I'm a good organizer.
But you like decorating stuff. Watch decorating shows.
I like them because it's organized, but I don't like decorating myself. I want to pay someone to just do it.
All right.
But I like organizing.
Okay.
That's a difference.
But you watch design shows.
Oh, honey. If you think everybody who watches design shows like decorating, no, it's like watching Dr. Pimple Popper. It's just mindless. It kind of means nothing. It's just pretty. It's just calming. That's it.
Oh, I think people watch it because they're trying to kind of like figure out their own spaces.
I think there's probably a little bit of both of that, but it's why HGTV is like the thing they always play in doctor's office, because it doesn't offend or do anything with anyone. It's just kind of mindless.
Great. I'm glad that that's what art has become. Well, oh, it's just mindless.
Yep.
I'll tell Michelangelo that's what it turned out to be.
You're welcome, Mickey.
Did
anybody ever think call him Mickey? Like one of his boyfriends?
Well, this is dumb. I'm not even going to entertain this. I was like...
Like for a second you thought,
I went,
did someone call Michelangelo
Mickey?
And then
Mickey? I went, this is dumb. Even for a show like ours, this is dumb.
Woo!
I will not go to the depths you pull me to sometimes.
Mm.
She says basically no. And he says, but she's like, I would be far away from my home and I wouldn't be comfortable. And he's like, but I've changed. I've become a better person. You haven't done anything. This is when it gets right back to his kind of transactional ideas of thinking. I've changed. Now you do something for me.
You didn't raise your kids at all.
Right. And then he says, because now you kind of understand his thinking. He's becoming a better man. And so she can be a real Samoan girl.
Which she... That was great when she said, I'm half Samoan. And he's like, if you're a real Samoan, you want kids. And she said, I'm a real Samoan woman. Whether or not I want kids or my relationship with your mother does not determine
regardless
my Samoan-ness. Mic fucking drop.
It was amazing. It's a great moment.
She just shut it down. I love her. I love her. I would love. I just want to go have a drink with her and her sister.
She would. I think she's probably up there on the top three to hang out with. I think she's
one of the most normal people on 90 Day Fiancé.
They're funny on TikTok. Her and her sister are really funny on TikTok too.
And so this way, as a family, they're all funny. They get it.
So she does. She says that to him, and he's like, "But you don't speak the language." And she's like, "I will try to do my best, but you're not going to make me a real Samoan, or you're not, because I already am Samoan." She's like, "I'm not going to do those things because I'm American, and your kids are American. And
but she, again, though, she says, "You're right, though. I do want to learn the language." And she said, "We can go there for a month or two. I'm fine." You're right. I do want our kids.
She's trying to make compromises.
To understand their heritage. But we are still half American.
Yeah, he's just... I think,
now it makes sense that he's not from American Samoa. Oh. Well, that makes sense.
Oh,
well, now it all adds up, y'all.
Can we move on, please? That's the end of this section, y'all.
Y'all, let's talk about Jovi Child. Jovi Child and Yara.
Let's wade deeper into this dysfunction. So this is post-strip club and slap.
Yep. Now, we said some sissies brought something up that we forgot to mention. Because you talked about, you said, you know, it's like when he touched the stripper, it's like Yara turned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember, Yara said at the Russian restaurant, "Okay, we can go, but no touching."
Yeah.
She said that, and Jovi agreed to it, and then he went back on it.
Well, and what she said by touching was he put the money in her.
She meant, but that was touching, you know, that and Jovi touching. Agreed. So again,
I'm not making excuses for him. It was terrible.
No, but, yeah, but I mean, I was just, we were kind of like,
I would have, as much as Yara would have said, "Fungo Yara, you know, Yara wants to go to the strip club. She told me she wanted to go." And as much as Yara would have said to him that she would go, I think, like the Star Wars meme, it's a trap. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Y'all, Jovi is a self-centered Southern mama's boy. That's it.
Yes. And I think, I won't go, but Andy's an alcoholic.
And definitely has problems with alcohol.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's not diagnose it. Definitely, though, alcohol factors into his decision.
I got a degree in it. I ran a recovery group for a year.
But,
I'm telling you,
but
it's
let's
classic.
Let's just not amateurly diagnose people we know on a show instead of meeting them.
Well, I'm just saying what I'm seeing. Come at me, Jovi.
Maybe when you could call him his name. So Jovi did not sleep there last night.
No, because Miss Gwen comes in. She sees Yara, and she's like,
"Jovi Child, where is he? I got Milo, baby. Milo here. I don't know what I'm going to do."
And so Yara says, she's like, "Look, he wanted to go to a strip club." And
Gwen's face.
She's like, "Why did you go?" And Yara said, we talked about this a little bit. Now in hindsight and seeing kind of through the edit, he really did kind of guilt her into going.
Oh, yeah,
and,
totally.
And browbeat her because Yara said, "I just agreed to make him happy. He told me I wasn't fun. He told me I'm an old human." I love how she said old human. And he said that I'm just not fun anymore, and I was just trying to be what he wanted to be fun. And Miss Gwen said, it really hurt me when she said, "Oh, that makes me really sad."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Gwen, and she says, "There's no reason you have to go there, the club." And
she said, "No." And she said, "I thought he would have grown up, but now, and not be stupid."
And Coach Jovi comes back in, probably smelling of alcohol, and she's like, "You know, I went to the other room to sleep because I didn't want to argue in front of the baby. I didn't want to argue in front of Mala." And
she's like, "Oh, well, why'd you go to the strip club, Jovi? Why'd you go?"
It's like, she wanted to go. Like, Yara wanted to go. Yara wanted to go to the strip club.
I mean, we see, y'all, Jovi pushes and pushes and pushes boundaries. And then when he gets called out on those boundaries, He acts like he had no hand in it at all.
Cannot see his part because
at all.
In a way, because I don't want to blame Gwen for this. Because I'm sure he's grown up in a society where as a golden boy, he never really had to do anything for himself anyway. But
I don't know if it's Gwen. It might be the men in his life that didn't do that as well.
That's true. Maybe they were unaccountable.
Yeah.
But he's never been held account to anything, you guys. So that's when
I feel like Gwen has tried, to be honest.
Yeah.
Now that we know a little bit more about her.
We haven't seen a lot of it, though. We haven't seen
that's
anything
true.
On the show.
We haven't, but
It's interesting because he hasn't been. That's why in an argument he can't ever admit that he had a reason. He's like, yeah, let's just have fun. Either he dismisses it and blames the other person in a really nasty way, or he says, I'll be better. And he knows that is the way to get out of an argument. The kind of person who can never admit their either fault or. And it's a problem because Yara.
Well, he says maybe. If you notice, he'll say,
"Oh yeah,
well maybe I was wrong. Yeah. Maybe I was this. Well, perhaps he never says I was wrong."
And I think they never speak. They literally don't speak the same language. But also, she when they talk when they're talking later on the beach, neither one of them can see the other's perspective.
No, they can't.
Yara can only say because for Yara, she comes to. America and it's all of a sudden she's in a new place, she's pregnant, he's gone, so she's in this kind of fight or flight place constantly. Mm-hmm. He can't see her perspective at all. He is having to become a father overnight and kind of living this party boy vacation life, and then he has to become a father. Yara isn't very understanding about that either. If they could just see the other's perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more on Jovi. I kind of think with everything Yara's gone through.
I agree.
It would be helpful to see his perspective, but how can she when she's carrying everything, you know?
But I'm saying with someone like Jovi, you have to decide if you're going to want to be with them or not. Because the only way he's going to understand is when you actually try to see it from his perspective.
That's true, but Jovi, if he's really, if he wants to be a good person, I think a lot of couples that we see work on 90 Day Fiancé are the couples that they take the responsibility of they know they are asking someone to come over, so they actually try to see more of the person coming to the U.S. They almost try to overcompensate and see more of their perspective, so that way...
Oh, of course.
And
I'm just saying...
No, no, I'm not disagreeing with you.
You're never going to get that from Jovi.
That's what I was about to say. Jovi's not going to do that.
No, it's not in him. It's not in him.
It's not... You know, Miss Gwen, she says, you know, y'all need to talk a lot. And she even says kind of to the camera, she's like, you know, I thought Yara was here for a green card. And, you know, I think she's proven me wrong. She's proven me wrong. And she tells Jovi, she's like, Jovi, you need to listen to her.
Yeah.
You need to listen. He said, thanks for your amazing advice.
Thanks. And that's good advice.
And she turns up and she says, grow up, Jovi.
It's great.
Ooh, Miss Gwen.
The thing about it is, though, he never has to, nor does any of his... the thing is, I grew up with... All the boys I grew up with were like this. Honestly, all I don't know, but for you, this is definitely a kind of like... Yes, even men who have babies, they still party. This is what they do.
Not people that people don't. Where I'm from, and at least in my family, because my dad looked nobody hardly in my dad's family. Nobody really drinks or anything. So, it was actually partying was looked down upon that you're not working. And, and even where I'm from, like a lot of people, it's so Christian based that people don't drink.
Oh, so mine too, but like,
no, where I'm from, it's really, I don't know why. Cause we both come from very like Protestant and
but
Baptist.
From men, for men who are in their 20s and 30s, if they don't have religion, which he was Catholic obviously, but, but especially in Cajun culture and in that kind of like party boy New Orleans culture, it's never going to change. He's always going to go out. That doesn't end. But I'm saying the culture enables men to do this. And then it falls back on women to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say one thing. This completely tells you where Joby's at, you guys. He tells Yara, and this is where I can actually, not that I'm sympathetic here, but I totally understand his perspective. He says, when you came to America, I expected you'd be happy when I came home. You'd make friends. You'd have a life. You would be able to do all this stuff. And I just realized, he's trying to make this cool girl, vacation girl, like the women from back home.
Yeah.
Like the women who became wives to his friends. Because he would have a fun, but unlike them, he would have a fun wife who was different than all of them.
It's pretty shocking that someone that is this well traveled, because y'all, he is very well traveled, is this ignorant on another culture.
He doesn't travel. He travels like an American and doesn't have any curiosity. Maybe he'll go see a ruin or something like that.
No, he just goes and parties.
Yeah. Yeah. Eats good food. Yeah.
Goes to like yacht parties, shit like that.
Yep. Yep. That's the thing. And I'm not saying Yara's going to be able to do this. All Yara would have to do is say, and with Joby, because Joby's easy. I could figure out Joby in a second to get what I needed from Joby. But she'll never be able to. She puts him down consistently.
She does put him down, but Joby doesn't want to be held accountable. And I think she holds him accountable. And that to Joby seems.
And it seems threatening. And she's trying to change him. That's what she's
shaming, it seems. And it's just, I don't think she's asking for anything ridiculous.
No, she's not.
I don't think she'll ever get, I don't know if anybody, even you, could get what they want from Joby, because what they want is for Joby to show up and be a father. And for that, it's going out and partying with your friends will never mix with that.
Well, I promise you the way to do it is constant validation of his experience. And I'm not saying I would do that, but mm-hmm. I know people like that. Mm-hmm. Constant validation of his own experience mm-hmm. and understanding his perspective and even going things like the strip club, but like setting clear boundaries, not shaming him for things, because that's when he shuts down. Mm-hmm. Agreed. To me, he's all too much work. I would never.
Yeah, he's a lot of work.
But
a lot of babying.
She's basically saying, stop this party animal life. It's almost like every time she says that, she is shaming him and saying, you're going to change to be the way I want to be. And that's opposite, because he thought she was going to be the American girl. Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn Yara from a Ukrainian to an American. Mm-hmm. She's going to have friends. She's going to do all this, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be fun, because this is the girl I met on my vacation who I had a lot of fun with. And now she'll have her own American life, because everyone wants to live in America. So I get his perspective.
Should have worn a condom then. Maybe that would have helped.
Right?
So you could have more fun for a little bit longer.
Wrap it up, y'all.
Wrap it up.
And she basically says, Joby says, I'm not going to change my personality or my life.
Because he says, I want to be a good husband, but I'm not going to change who I am. And what Joby doesn't get, those two things can't coexist.
Well,
they can't. They can't. Not with what Yara's wanting, and also not with him being so just into partying and being like that. It does seem like that's the most important thing in his life.
Well, for her, this is the thing. If you set boundaries and say, yeah, we're going to go out and have a party to this time, and you really specify what we can do. And yeah,
but she's done that. They've done that. They've sat and had conversations. Remember when they were engaged and he said he was going to be home? She's like, sure, Joby, go out and have fun with your friends.
Right.
Be home by 11. He was home at 1:30.
I get that. That was the bachelor party.
But Jovi always asks for forgiveness, never permission.
That's true. I'm just saying, I think she's handling him the worst possible way.
Oh, I think so too. But I think she's again just trying to look at it. It's interesting where she actually, the boundaries and the things she puts on him in a way seems very unemotional and just black and white. This
oh,
makes
I
sense.
Disagree. I think all and of it's Jovi's, shaming.
Jovi's all emotion. But she shakes him, but I mean, I'm saying what she wants is not like she's saying, Jovi, I just want you to do this thing, this and that, and show up and do this.
Yeah, but it's riddled with judgment. It's she's like, it's not that hard. I want you to be a father, blah, blah, blah. It's,
oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
They're both riddled with judgment. They're both.
Oh yeah.
They both don't understand why it's that hard.
Yeah,
why
it's like, you're not fun. Blah blah blah.
It's not that hard
stuff.
To be fun. It's not that hard to not go out and party. I agree with you. They both completely invalidate each other's experience.
It's kind of like Tiffany and Ronald. They're a personality type that.
But they do still seem to love each other.
Yeah,
I think that's there.
I still have hope for these two, but this really bothered me because I can just see Jovi like making a stand and just not and refusing to change because he's never been held accountable to it, and he's not going to start now at 30 something. He's just not.
No,
there's not a lot of repercussions for him because he lives his life on his own terms.
Look,
so.
One thing that is kind of puts Yara, not one thing, but several things that to me that puts Yara a little bit ahead of Jovi as far as growth. Yara does not as much as I'd like, but she does take more responsibility for things she did wrong or ways she could possibly, and Jovi doesn't. So until Jovi starts taking responsibility, you're right. It's never, ever going to.
Weight in one hand and piss in
and
the other.
Yeah, that's
and see which one
for
gets
his
full
actions,
first.
Responsibility for his drinking. Responsibility for, you know, I wonder like what their financial life is like. I wonder if they're good with that too, or if he blows shit on like he wants to spend $10,000 on a vacation.
You make good money for those in those jobs. But the idea of I guarantee you the idea of taking responsibility for drinking will because of the its place in Cajun culture will never happen.
Oh, probably not.
Unless it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm being super realistic about this couple, y'all. That's what that's why I'm saying. Basically, I'm telling you the ways for Yara to get through to Jovi is only through seeing it exclusively through his eyes. I don't suggest that, but that's the only way.
Well, no, it brings up that whole point. Like, I don't think a lot of this is on Gwen and the way she raised Jovi. I think it's more, the village raises a child, y'all. We're such a product
the
of the environment.
Does.
And I think you're so right. Like, he sees and is doing just what all other men around him are doing. So why would he change?
Yep. It would have, she'd have to lay out a series of ultimatums. And I don't think he's ready for that.
No.
Nope.
That's
the show.
Yeah. Maybe if his father talks to him.
Maybe. I don't think that's ever going to happen, though.
But maybe we'll see.
His dad seems pretty removed in anything emotionally in his life.
Yeah.
That's the show, y'all. Yay!
Ball of joy, y'all.
It's a real party on Happily Ever After.
I'm choking on my water.
All right, y'all, you can find us on... Okay, don't cough while I'm trying to finish this.
I got choked.
Well, pull the mic away from yourself. you can find us on Instagram at Reality Gaze Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Reality Gaze Pod. Y'all come at us on Cameo.
You can.
Anything else?
You can find Poodle between 9 and 11 on picklefinder.net, PianoCat77.
Don't turn on your camera unless you want a free show.
A free show, everybody.
One Bitcoin.
One bit. two Bitcoin. So we can't room them up at Sesame Street.
Don't
so,
do
y'all.
That.
Hey, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate it very much. Next episode, we're going to be talking about Tiffany and Ronald, Angela and Michael, and Mike and Natalie, and yes, Juliana makes quite an appearance. Quite an appearance, y'all. All right. So, y'all, we'll see you next time. But remember, we call these people Lonely Hearts because, honestly, we are all just Lonely Hearts.
Oh, God, aren't we all?
And we all in all the wrong places, unfortunately. Right, Poodle?
Yes. And if you've ever fought with your brother-in-law and if the only thing that's happening is your buttons holding up your shirt and your glorious muscle chest, broad, and all of a sudden you just come home to your wife and you bang her. I just went somewhere. I'm sorry. Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.